So we've been in this series about declaring war against the lies of the enemy. And so week number one, we talked about our thoughts and declaring war against our thoughts. We realized that for so many of us, myself included, that I am my own worst enemy, that I tend to shred who God is all the time, beat myself up. My thoughts about myself are negative, and you all too. Many of you have shared with me that you are you always look into the mirror and think negative. You always look at what your, you know, maybe what your dinner plate looks like and you think negative, or maybe you look on social media and you think negative, because that's really what social media is supposed to do for you anyway, is make you loathe other people's lives. But our thoughts are just negative. And so we decided as a church, we're going to declare war against those thoughts and begin to think of ourselves in the way that Jesus does, the way that God says in Scripture of you being a masterpiece, of you being more than a conqueror, of you being crowned with glory. I mean, all the ways in which we are called to have good thoughts about ourselves. And then week number two, we talked about what we say. We talked about declaring war on the things that we say, and I challenged you to even go further and declare war on the things that you type, because we live in a world full of keyboard warriors, and you need to know that your words do hurt, that your words can bring, as we see in Scripture, that your tongue can bring life and it can bring death. The things that you say can bring things in the world that are really positive, really great. There are things that you say that can bring people down. And we shared examples of that in our own lives, and so we declared war on what we said, our words. Today, I want us to look at our actions. Today, I want us to declare war on our actions. And this is not to declare war on your neighbor's actions, on what they do, or on your spouse's actions, on what they do. I want you to look really internally and determine that you're going to declare war on the things that you personally do, on the way in which you personally act, and that you're going to begin to act like the Church of Jesus Christ, that you're going to begin to act like a follower of Jesus rather than just a casual lover of Jesus. Rather than seeing Jesus as just your buddy or your homie, you're going to truly see Him as your Lord and your Savior. And so today we've got to move to our actions, because if we are nothing but words and thoughts, then we are nothing but great intentions. We are nothing but great intentions. We actually are not the work of God in the world. And we are called to be game changers into the world and the society in which we live. And so our actions have to address that. And if we've got to be honest, the church's actions to the world don't seem very caring. Don't seem like it actually does anything to solve a problem in many ways. And we can tend to be even more negative in our actions than we'd like to give credit. And so today I want to talk about that, and I want to declare war on it. Because James, in his book in Scripture, says faith without works is dead. And so we have to work at that. Our actions have to speak louder than our words. Would you pray with me as we begin today? Heavenly Father, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from your mouth. So feed us today a great bread of heaven. Lord, allow our meditations of our heart, our actions, our thoughts, our words, and all the ways in which we gather just be tailored to you. May we leave this room different than we walked in. And may we fully just live in your presence. So in the name of Jesus, I pray all of these things. Amen. I want to share with you all as a scripture for kind of our anchor scripture today is out of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 5 through 10. The main focus is going to be 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. It says this: Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. What's the anchor verse for us today is out of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. And the Message translation actually says it in a way that I enjoy, and it really points directly at us. It says, since we are creatures of the day, act like it. Since you're creatures of the day, act like it. So Christians, act like it. Act like we are not creatures of darkness. Act like we are not set aside for the secular world in which we just fold into, but act like the creatures of the day that we are. And so if you want to know what today's message is going to be in one sentence, it is this: your daily activity should come from your new identity. Your daily activity should come from your new identity. Scripture speaks to us saying yes to Jesus as this new creation, this new birth, this new thing that comes out. And I dare say, for people who do not experience that new, have you met Jesus yet? Because you should be challenged, you should be convicted, you should not look the same. Every day we should be trying to look more different in the name of Jesus. Every day we should try to be more Christ-like and chiseled into that which Jesus has for us. And so what does that look like for us? Well, I want to talk about that today. And I'm going to talk about that first by returning to our favorite animal of this sermon series, and that's our good pal, the wolves. So, and think like, when we were arguing about our thoughts, we kind of thought like a wolf, in the sense of wolves have a way of thinking, a pattern in which they work together as the pack, coming together and doing things. They have different ways of communicating, that they even have like facial expressions they can give each other to tell where they're going and what their thoughts are. We talked about in working with our words that wolves howl to really hype each other up, that there are different howls that mean different things, that it's them kind of sharing what the plan is to attack that which it will attack. And then today I want to talk about how our actions affect the whole in a way. And so many of us who were raised on the Jungle Book know the great, great line of the strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack, right? The Jungle Book teaches us this as a kid. So you know it. You know that the strength of the wolf is the pack, and the strength of the pack is the wolf. And so we are as strong as each other. In wolf packs, they have alpha, males and females, and then they have beta wolves, and then they have the omega wolf, which is kind of the court jester of the wolves. I mean, he really doesn't have a whole lot that he's great at, but he kind of, you know, boosts morale every now and then. But it's the lowest one on the totem pole. But yet the pack still serves even with the omega wolf. You've probably seen the photo all over social media before, where when a wolf pack moves from one area to the other, they put the most elderly wolves at the front of the pack to lead the pace, while the alpha male will actually be at the very back and make sure that he can protect all the wolves in front of him. I mean, it's amazing when the pack moves together, but the pack is as strong as the individual. But the problem is that it has to belong in the pack, because a lone wolf has no protection. A lone wolf cannot do much by itself. It can attack, it can fend off by its own, by its lonesome, but it actually, lone wolves don't really win much of its hunting excursions that it goes on. It has to have the pack. They have a plan that goes. See, a wolf is impelled by many desires. It wants to breed, it wants to hunt, it wants to explore, but most of all, wolves have a desire that I think we all have. It wants to belong. We do this. We kind of live in this pack mentality. Church, we are as strong as each and every one of you put together. We are as strong as a church when the body of believers, when the united church of Jesus Christ, when we come together as the body and claim the name of Jesus, we are the pack. But the strength of the pack is also the wolf. And so where are you? What are your actions? What are you moving in? Where are you actually doing in the name of Jesus? Or are you just all thoughts and words? Do you have the Facebook post that's all scripture, but yet your actions speak none of that? Do you have great conversations around a dining room table, but yet you've never been generous in your life? I mean, what actions do we have here? And so I like to think about this, but I also like to think about what community do you place yourself in? Who are you allowing to build you up? Who are you allowing to invest in you and the actions that you take? Because my mama raised me understanding that she would tell me all the time, if you show me your friends, I show you who you're going to be. My mom was hypercritical of people that I brought in the house. She was the first one that if I brought a young lady into the house that I was thinking about dating, she would look at her and be like, uh-uh, not that one. She would tell me. She had no problem telling me that the young girls that I was dating were not sufficient enough. Or when I brought in girls that she did think we're up to that level. She was always like encouraging. She was someone that I allowed to speak into my life. My mom would always say, if you show me your friends, I'll show you who you're going to be. Statistics will actually show you that you are the average sum of the five people you spend most time with. And so that means financially, you're the average sum of the five people you spend the most time with. Spiritually, you're the average sum of the five most people you spend time with. So if you want to grow in your faith, get around some faith-filled people. I watched a video this morning that I really enjoyed, but it was these two girls. They were probably college age, and one girl was sitting in the car, and she was playing some like really, really raunchy music, and her friend opened the door, and she said, "Why are you playing that?" And the girl said, "Well, I'm trying to get hype. You know, Christian music doesn't get me hype." And the other girl goes, "Mm-mm, shut the door." And so she let the window down. She goes, "What's wrong with you?" And the girl said, "I'm not getting in your car. Uh-uh, I'm about Jesus. I ain't about that." And it just held her friend accountable. And so I wonder, who do you have in your life? Who is looking at your actions and has the ability to speak into your life and say, "Hey, that's not of Christ"? Who is looking into the way in which you present yourself, the way that you carry yourself in the weekdays, and has the chance to speak into that? I also wonder, where are you investing at the depth of your own discipleship? Like, if this is all we have on a Sunday morning, while I think I give pretty good sermons, it's still such a shallow level of the intimacy you can have with Christ. Like, so much of this walk with Christ is personal time in study, personal time with the living Word of God that can still speak to you through reading it, but also communal in the sense of your church family on a Sunday morning, but also journey groups. We have the journey groups that we have, this journeying through life together, and these groups are great ways for you to allow people to speak into your life, allow people to pray for you. Man, I had a guy from the church just a couple of days ago on my ride up to Atlanta who called me and said, "Pastor Andy, I want to pray for you. I don't think, you know, you probably don't get that a lot." And I can't tell you how I wanted to pull over and just cry, because I was like, man, like, someone's praying for me. Like, this is, and I know people pray for me, but someone's like physically calling me to pray for me. Like, that meant way more than this person knew. And so, like, who are you allowing in your life? What pack are you surrounding yourself with? And most of the packs that I surround myself with, I'm the Omega Wolf. I'm the ding dong for the most part. I'm probably the lowest on the totem pole in ways to do things. But I'm allowing them to help me learn more, engage more, and especially grow in my faith. And so what pack do you surround yourself with? What actions are you taking? And so now I want to kind of talk a little bit more about your personal self, your personal actions. And I have three actions specifically that you can look at, or three things you can look at that I think change everything. The first is your posture. And I know some of y'all are like, "Posture? What?" Your posture, yeah. Your mom was right when she told you to sit up straight. When you got elbowed by your grandma in church because you were slumped over falling asleep, they were right. Posture really does matter. I think we have to take thought of our posture deeply. You know, I wonder how many of us in this room have resting Bible face. How many of you got it? You can admit it. There's some people in this room, I've seen it. Y'all look like you suck on lemons all the time. Like, it's tough. It's tough, and that, I mean, that's the gift that God gave you, but I mean, recognize that's the posture that you may have. Like, Pete, you become unapproachable in that way sometimes. Or, like, for me, one of the ways in which you can tell when I'm my most stressed is I get calluses on my fingers, like right here in the fat part of my index finger, and it's because I bite it. Like, when I don't, that's just a weird thing that I do, but that's a callus. Like, if I'm stressed, I'll have a callus there, and it'll go away after a while, but then it'll come back when I get stressed again, because I'll bite it. Or I bite my nails. Or my wife told me a mannerism I didn't even realize I had, but when I get mad, I bite my lip. I'm like that. Like, I learned. I allowed her to speak into my life and tell me what was wrong. So, what are some posture things that you have? Do you find yourself slumping when you sit all the time? That's where I reside. Or I stand like this, kind of protecting my underbelly. I have like a level of protection when I talk with people like this, because I'm able to kind of cover myself up. I'm able to kind of shield myself. What they show scientifically is that if you have a posture that is stressful, like a stressful posture, so most people, if you stand stressful, it's like really tight, or there was an example of someone who like stands like this a lot, and they show that if you stand like that for 15 minutes total in the day, that your cortisol levels rise so much and your heart begins to just race because you're so stressed. But they will actually show if you stand in a posture of surrender, like a posture of praise, almost like you're an Olympian that just won a medal and you're like, yeah, like if you stand like that, it raises your testosterone levels to where you feel more strong, you feel more powerful, you feel less stressed. And so how are you carrying yourself? What posture do you have? I wonder if you want to question that. Some of us don't carry it well. In America, we have almost a pandemic of sorts of shallow breathing and dehydration. So many of us are walking around today. I'm sure half of you. How many of you, let's actually ask this question. How many of you actually drank a bottle of water today or a cup of water today so far? Okay, pretty good, decent amount. I'm not talking about the brown water that's coffee. I'm talking about actual high quality H2O according to our water boyfriend. How many of you drink that? I mean, realistically, many of us live in dehydrated states, and we wonder why we're not refreshed. So many of us in America, we live with shallow breathing struggles, where if you're not breathing to where it moves your diaphragm, where your stomach is kind of coming out, then you're not taking a deep enough breath. And if you're not, your heart beats faster because it's not getting oxygenated like it should. And you wonder why when you're in an argument and you're mad at someone and your heart's just going like thump, 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 and you step away from the argument and you're finally able to breathe, that you're like, man, I had that comeback. I could have gotten them. You know, like you wonder. Well, it's because when you breathe deeply, when your posture is good, you tend to think better. You tend to think more clearly. You tend to act more maturely in a way. I mean, you tend to just be all around a better human when we live in the good posture, good breathing, hydrated world that we have. And see, we also see this even in worship. I'll tell you, as someone who's led worship before, one of the most heartbreaking things is when I see people who are worshiping God, but they worship like Napoleon Dynamite before he's about to dance. He's got like his head in his hand, his pockets, his head down. I mean, that cool. I'm glad you're doing it. But this is like a posture that's kind of just downtrodden. And in Scripture, we actually see that it says God is the lifter of your head. That we have Scripture that talks to raising your hands, like this avenue of worship. I mean, we've even got a Scripture where David dances naked in front of the Lord, guys. I'm not saying do that. But like this, like what is your posture of worship? Do you see God as a game changer in your life? Do you see God as one who really loves you? Or are we just standing with our hands in our pockets, our head down? What's the posture that we carry? I think your posture really matters. There's a body of research out there that shows if you have a strong posture, you are actually more strong. And if you have a weak posture, you are physically more weak. I like to joke with the college students I hung out with and said I had dad strength, but it was really just posture. In Scripture, we just see so often that God speaks to this posture, this avenue of raising our heads, of this triumphant almost posture of the human being, and how that matters so much. So posture is the first thing that I think can change a lot. The second is your pregame. And I'm not talking about the secular pregame. I am talking about what is your mindset going into situations? What actions do you do for yourself before you go into work on Monday? Or before you go into the situation in which you're about to be a part of, whatever it be, a meeting, it could be school, it could be an argument, whatever it may be, what are you doing before you get on the court of sorts? One of the stories of wolves coming from Canada to Yellowstone. So one of the things they did with Yellowstone is they kind of messed up in the beginning and they got rid of all the wolves. Well, then the elk population like skyrocketed and they were like, oh no, we've got to correct this. So they gathered some wolves from Canada and brought them to Yellowstone. And one of the things that they recognized when they did that was that the wolves that came down, they had this like howl party where like they all gathered and everybody's like, hoo, 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 you know, howling. And this is how my brain works, guys, I'm sorry. But they were howling and they said that these wolves would like, they'd howl and then they'd jump on top of each other and they ended up being like a doggy pile of just fur and tails wagging, which was like really cute in my mind, but these are wolves, so they're a little bit scary. But they would talk about like how these guys, before they would go on a hunt for elk, how they would hype each other up, how they would do this to build up the pack. And so when you go into a situation, for example, you're having a procedure done at the hospital, is your pregame to just say, the doctors know enough? Or do you bring people in to pray for you? Do you ask your journey group to care for you? Are you, you know, what are you doing to set yourself up for the morning of? What are you doing before you go to work on a Monday morning? Are you dreading your Monday and you've just got the bah humbug sucking on Lemon's face that you've got going on walking into your office? Or are you walking in with energy and filled with the Holy Spirit, ready to make a change? I used to tell parents when they would drop their kids off at CSU, the day of drop-off, they would talk about being so scared. And I said, Mom, don't be scared. And they're like, why? And I said, because if your child loves Jesus, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and this campus cannot remain the same because your kid is on it. And man, let me tell you how that just made them feel so much better, because they're like, you know what? I've prayed for that. I do pray for my kids. Well, you know, whatever. It may make them just more available to the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. Or even better yet, for myself, I was on a Zoom call the other day for like 3 hours. It was awful. But I was told, Pastor Andy, man, you've got youth pastor energy. And I was like, I don't know if that's good news because I'm a senior pastor now. But I was like, yes, I do. And they were like, you walk into a room or you are on Zoom and we can see you through the camera being like, let's go! Like getting people excited, because I want, that's the pregame I want. I want to cheer on my kids. When Coleman and I get in the truck to take him to school in the morning, I've kind of enjoyed doing that the last few weeks. We listen to a song. Right now he's stuck on That's Who I Praise by Brandon Lake, and that song's really good. He's not paying me to say that. But Coleman wants me to always cut it up, and of course it's in the morning. I'm like, nah, buddy, we're going to be a little bit quieter. But no, you know what? I turned that thing to like 20 in the truck. And we are bumping That's Who I Praise as we pass Coach Chapman, we pass the teachers, and we are just thumping as we head into the car pickup line, because I want my kid to get out of the car knowing, number one, he's loved by God, but number two, like, have a great day, dude. Like, you today can be a day that changes everything. And so what pregame are you bringing in to the situations that you have? What is it like for you to suit up so that you can be the best when you show up? What does that look like? Where you prepare yourself the best as possible. Because see, if you're not ready, you're not ready to face the game if you don't have your game face on. And so get it on, put it on. Go into the situations, claiming the name of Jesus wherever you go. And then the final one that I want to, the final thing that I think changes everything for you, not only is it your posture, not only is it your pregame, but I like to use props. Props. And I know this is a funky one for some of you, because some of you were not in theater growing up. You also don't watch movies, but I love some movies. And everything that's in a movie is a prop that was planned. It was used. Sometimes it will foreshadow what they're going to do with it. And Avengers, all throughout Avengers, you see a lot of different foreshadowing elements that they bring into those superhero movies. But props, the things that you're kind of putting on to enhance that which you're doing. So we see this even in the 1 Thessalonians passage, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. It says, since we are creatures of the day, let's act like it. Walk out into the daylight sober, dressed up in faith, love, and the hope of salvation. That avenue of dressed up is what I'm talking about. Like putting on faith, love, hope, putting on the props that you need in order to fulfill those things. And so prop is defined by Webster's Dictionary as something used in creating or enhancing a desired effect. Something that props or sustains. And I technically think props for me could be both things. And so I brought a couple of my props with me. The first is my AirPods. I use these every time that I want to focus. My ADHD brain, I'm like the dog on up. Like if a noise happens around me, I'm like squirrel. Like I'm in it. And so if I really need to focus, if I'm sermon prepping, if I'm trying to have moments to focus on what God is telling me, I will pop these puppies in and I'll turn on noise canceling mode to where like the only way you can get in touch with me is if you get in my face and dance. Like, I mean, or you just come like slap me or something. Like, that's the only way you can potentially get my attention for the most part. But I put those on. I know when those things are in both ears that it is locked in, focus time. What is God showing me? What do I feel like I need to share with the church? Those kind of things. The second thing that I brought, I'm going to actually show you all my... This Bible I got when I was in high school. And it's one of them fat and chunky Bibles. So it's a study Bible. But I used to be that nerd kid who carried his books, like right down here at Hardaway. I just was. But I carried... Thank you, Leslie, for recognizing that you knew me back then. But I would carry my Bible with me everywhere I went. And it wasn't just to be like, oh, I carry my Bible and thou not, does not. It was... It was to be a reminder just that God was with me throughout the day. And so I would often like find myself opening this thing up and reading through it all the time while I was in school and if I needed just some encouragement. But it was a prop for me that kept me grounded in my faith, but really kept me grounded in the ways in which God was at work. And then the final thing is, if you've ever had a serious conversation with me, and I think it's silly that I have this, but like a conversation that I needed to take notes through, I have, which I do, I have a Pokemon notebook, Pokemon journal, it's Moleskine journal. I have a Pikachu one in my office too, so it's going to get filled up at some point. But I'm a 90s kid. This was my jam when growing up. But I use this all the time, and I write throughout it just to like let me know what I need to do. And also, I'll write prayer requests in here and remind myself of where they're at. I'll sometimes dog-ear the page so I can go back and pray for specific needs. Or if I'm serving a family in a funeral, I will write down notes about the person's life in that notebook, and I keep these notebooks. I actually have a handful of them still in my office. But these journals are something for me that's a prop for me. If I pull this out, this is what I'm using to write down it. Very important, specific information that I'm going to look back on and I'm going to pray over. And I know for me, it locks me in. It sets me up for success. It allows my actions to speak louder than just my words, that I am here in the conversation. I am here in this moment, and I am fully attentive to what you have for me. And God, I'm going to use every bit of whatever I write in here to share the life of someone who's passed away and to celebrate those who are around me, or to pray over prayer concerns, or to lead a church in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever that may be. That's what that prop is for. And so what are some props for you? Research will actually show that doing certain things, putting things in your life that kind of remind you of the need to focus, to care, to others, to whatever that may be, whatever that item may be for you, it actually does better for your psyche and allows you to really focus on that need. And so, like, for some of you, you may need reading glasses. And you know, when you put your reading glasses on, well, that's the time that I'm going to focus on reading my Bible or whatever. For some people, I have a friend who, his is a candle. If he ever lights that candle, it means it's prayer time. And for some reason, that prop sets his action in play. And so there's great opportunities for your props to really matter. We see that in Scripture, we have elements of certain actions and certain things that people were brought out of by the props in which they had. I mean, for example, you've got Moses, who when he carries his staff, he would raise it during the battle, and then he ends up physically getting propped up in the midst of it so that they could win the battle. You see things that, like, things that they actually had. Or you had items for them, like when grief would strike, they would tear their clothes and put on sackcloth. It's a reminder of the actions in which they would go for. And so, my dear friends, today is just a reminder for you that what you do matters. Your actions in which you move in, the way in which you carry yourself, the way that we as the body of Christ are affected by each and every one of you, because the strength of the wolf is the pack, but the strength of the pack is the wolf. And like 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, since we are creatures of the day, let's act like it. Let's act like it. So what are your actions doing? What are your actions saying? Are you someone who you speak way louder on social media and in your head with thoughts than actually acting like the Christian that you are? Or are you finding yourself really living out your faith, being generous in all ways, caring for the brokenhearted and the lost, and truly wanting to give all that you can for Jesus? What actions do we have? So the last story I want to share with you all is actually one of Michael Phelps, one of the greatest Olympians ever, well, at least most decorated. And so Michael Phelps, one of his trainers would speak about him, and he would say, Michael Phelps always showed up. He always was present. He says, one thing that separates Michael from other swimmers is that if they don't feel good, they don't swim good. That's not the way it is for Michael. Michael performs no matter what he is feeling. He has practiced it for a long time. C.S. Lewis would even talk about actions too. He'd say very often the only way to get equality in reality is to start behaving as if you had it already. Your actions are powerful. And so Michael Phelps, continuing about him, for 5 years from 1998 to 2003, he did not believe in days off. He had one because of a snowstorm, two more because of a removal of wisdom teeth. But Christmas, see you at the pool. Thanksgiving, at the pool. Birthdays, pool. Sponsor obligations, work them around practice time. He was always there. He swam good even though he didn't feel good. And the same is true with our spirituality. What does it look like for you to keep showing up? What does it look like for your actions to affect a change? What does it look like for you to wake up in the morning and even though you may not feel like being at church on a Sunday, you're here on a Sunday. Or even though you may not feel like going to your journey group, you're there for your journey group. What does it look like for you to prioritize for your actions to set in motion that which could be more? Proverbs 25:28 says, a person without self-control is like a house with its doors and windows knocked out. A person without self-control is like a house with its doors and windows knocked out. I think we have to pay attention to that which we do, to the actions in which we carry. And my friends, just like you need me, I need you. Because again, the strength of the wolf is the pack, and the strength of the pack is the wolf. So, think about your posture. Think about your pregame and what you bring into all the situations in which you head into. And what props do you need to get there? What brings you to focus on God? What brings you to focus on the situations that you need to? And what actions set you forward in moving in the name of Jesus? Our actions matter, so let's declare war on it. There's a powerful moment when you live a life of surrender, so take action this week. Maybe that looks like creating a journal for you that allows you to really focus on what God's got for you. Maybe you write 5 things you're grateful for and it really begins to change the situations. Maybe you need to join a journey group. Journey group invitations are out there now for you to join. Maybe that's a step in the right direction for your actions to affect change for you. Or maybe some of you in the room don't even know who Jesus is, and I'll tell you, that's the best place to start. I hope you don't leave this room the same as you walked in. So if you don't know Jesus, if you've never said yes to Him, I would love to speak with you as soon as we're done, right up front. Or come find me and let's have a conversation, because you do not need to leave this room in the same manner. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray that we learn to declare war on our actions. God, I find that I can think really well most days. Find that we can speak and say all the right things that everybody wants to hear. But when rubber meets the road, how are our actions standing out? Lord, I pray for everybody under my breath that they may, even as we pray, recognize the posture in which they bring to prayer. Do they find themselves slumped over or in a posture of victory, recognizing that, God, you can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine? God, I pray that we lean into our pregame. How are we walking into situations? Do we have biases as we walk into certain meetings or certain gatherings? Are we walking in with a sad view because we think it's going to turn out bad? Or are we walking in with the hope of Jesus Christ changing the situation? And then finally, Lord, what props do we bring in with us? What are we carrying in us or on us that will point us in the direction of you, that will point for action change? Or are we just wearing balls and chain all the time that's just weighing us down? Lord, I thank you for the ways in which you care for us. You love us as a church family. And I just pray that we do declare war on our actions. So in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.